So a few months ago, we brought you a story about how young Latinos are navigating higher education. And we looked at how one university, Oregon State, is trying to combat the troubling trend of Latinos not finishing college. And a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the future of warehouse jobs, many of which are filled by young Latinos and Latinas. And we wondered whether or not these jobs offer a path to the middle class. These stories were part of a partnership with the Community Service Society of New York, a nonprofit that, among other things, conducts demographic research to help in their mission of fighting poverty in New York City. Their data helped us bring you these stories. And today, I'm sitting down with Lazar Trescan, he's the organization's Director of Youth Policy, to talk about some of that data that they've gathered about Latinos and education in New York City over the last year. So I think, Lazar, when I first met you, you were like proudly the geek. You were like, look, I love data. I love numbers. The whole world makes sense to me because of data and numbers. And there are a lot of you out there in the world.
Absolutely. I think we live in times where what people are talking about can be a little bit uncertain. And I find comfort in basing some of the things I talk about on real facts and figures.
Okay. So every person who loves data has a story behind it. You have like this really wonderful story about what inspired you to do this kind of research and data. So what's the backstory?
Well, the particular line of work that we're talking about stems from one day I went with my parents, I'm guessing it was about 10 years ago, to see the terrific show In the Heights.
Lights up on Washington Heights, up at the break of day, I wake up and I got this little punk I gotta chase away.
Because I actually grew up in Washington Heights, where this show is about, and it's a Broadway musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda. You know, it was a terrific show and displayed, you know, all the glory of Washington Heights. With some differences to the community I grew up in, it showed three communities within Washington Heights, Dominicans, Mexicans, and Puerto Ricans, all living together, and most interesting to me, dancing to the same music, all listening to salsa. Whereas my experience, having grown up in Washington Heights, that wasn't exactly the case. It is a predominantly Dominican community, and I actually never heard salsa until I went to college. So I started thinking about, while I thought it was really great that the show put the communities on the map, there's a diversity within the Latino community that, as a policy wonk myself, I wondered if it wasn't getting out that actually the different communities within Latino Americans and Latino New Yorkers aren't being showcased enough. So I started digging into the data a little bit to see, well, if I were to tell a slightly different story that there are real differences among the different Latino communities, what would that mean for the youth policy field that I work in?
So what did you find? What surprised you?
Well, working in New York City schools and in the youth policy field, so much of youth policy when it came to dealing with Latino youth dealt with issues of English as a second language and English language learners. And the first thing that jumped out at me was that you've got three really distinct communities of Latinos in New York, the three major groups of Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and Mexicans. And the largest one, Puerto Rican New Yorkers, really have no English language learner issues. Over 90% of young people of Puerto Rican origin in New York speak English as their main or best language and are born in New York City. So I started to think, well, if the policy field is sort of lumping all Latinos together around this one issue, what are some other differences that we could find? And then once I started to dig a little deeper, a lot of new things started to come to the surface about differences in the communities, both in ways that make them great and then ways that we can support them to be even better.
All right. So I love this particular point that Dominican women have higher college graduation rates in New York City than any other demographic in the Latino population. So what's up with that?
It's really interesting. I think there are a lot of questions that are raised and a lot we can learn from, particularly in comparison to some other groups, both Latino and non-Latino. One thing we think is that the Dominican community in New York, like in Washington Heights, is interesting in that you have a lot of groups from different incomes living together. Because it's a relatively newer immigrant group, especially compared to Puerto Ricans, the schools that are majority Dominican schools, you have both lower and higher income families from Dominican origins. And what we find is that when you have mixed schools around socioeconomics, the culture pervades all the different groups in the school. So the college-going culture of the middle and higher-income Dominican families really pervades the lower-income families as well, which is why in those schools you really see much more of a college-going culture, and among women in particular, which is its real bright spot. Now, in comparison, the Puerto Rican community in New York has been here much longer, and you find that some higher and middle income Puerto Ricans, both in New York and other parts of the country, aren't living in the same neighborhoods. So where there are some concentrated Puerto Rican communities in areas of New York, you're not having those mix of incomes in the school, and the college-going culture may not be as strong.
It's fascinating. So there's a whole conversation around disaggregation of data. It sounds like a very technical thing, but what it really means is when you're taking big data and you're kind of making it into smaller bite-sized pieces. Is that a conversation that is being had regarding Latinos and Latinas in the United States?
Well, increasingly, I think we're seeing the value of diversity in our analysis. And now I think the next step is, we're such a diverse community within Latinos. How do we really show the differences within them and show the needs and strengths of different communities? And we're really on an exciting frontier as people start to think about diversity and identity differently. On the United States Census Bureau's annual community survey, which is really the baseline survey that we use for so much of our work, there's a question about race, and then there's a next question about ethnicity. So in race, people are largely answering whether they consider themselves white, black, or of an Asian background, or other. And then the next question is, are you Hispanic? And based on what community they come from, we start to see real changes in how different groups of Hispanic people answer the race question. And that's going to, I think, open up a whole new understanding of how race and identity are interacting with some of the current conversations that we're having that has really, again, allowed us to disaggregate things in a very interesting way, both interesting intellectually, but then I think as we have deeper discussions around how public policy can combat institutions of white supremacy and other institutionalized racism, really allow us to dig a little bit deeper to see how different groups are affected by different public policies.
Lazar, thank you so much for joining us on Latino USA.
Thanks. It's been a real pleasure.
Lazar Trescian is the Director of Youth Policy at the Community Service Society of New York.